Уважаемые участники, мы начинаем следующую сессию, миграционная.
Dear delegates, we start our session, migration policy of Russia.
И я...
And I pass the floor to the moderator, Mikhail Burda, head of migration department of the expert and research institution, named after Петр Столыпин. Presidential Academy under the President of the Russian Federation, RANIPA, you can call it easier, RANIPA. Hello, dear participants of today's session. Migration policy is probably is the fundamental components of what we will face in future. It influences us and our kids. That's why this topic is one of the key at our forum. With great pleasure, I'd like to introduce to you the participants of today's discussion, representative of different ways of the authorities who are professionals and experts in the subject matter we are going to discuss with you today. Mikhail Matveev, deputy of the State Duma Committee of the Federal Assembly of the Russian Federation on the regional policy and local administration. Oleg Kalugin, Minister of the Internal Policy of Kaluga Region. Kirill Kabanov, President of the National Anti-Corruption Committee. Pavel Shevtsov, Deputy Head of the Federal Agency for the Commonwealth of Independent States and compatriots living abroad on the international and humanitarian collaboration. In the beginning of our topic, I'd like to set the trend based on which we're going to discuss this important and relevant problem with our distinguished panel discussion speaker. As you may know, 2025, this in this sense is very important. The concept of the state migration policy that was adopted back in 2018, this year will be discontinued and a new strategic planning document will appear. We don't know what it will include, what key areas of migration will be regulated by this document. We see that there's a big number of problems and issues, and they are discussed and mentioned by different speakers. We see this topic discussed in media. At the same time, we see significant public request. And the distinguished feature of this request is that the society turns to the institutions, the governmental institutions, would ask, please bring it to order, make our state safe, make safe our cities and streets and our life. And this is the request which sounds very loud at many platforms. Why migration policy of the Russian Federation for the moment has some problems we're facing? Probably, first of all, we can manage the influence from the outside, and the regulations were written by globalist organizations who work easily here, realize their program, lived on grants of international organizations that accepted as unwanted in the Russian Federation, at least. We saw that for some moment economic demographic approach started to prevail when the external migration was considered as the demographic resource. And we see the words of Patriarch Kirill, who mentioned many times that none of the economic benefit can change the image of Russian cities. It's not acceptable, it's not possible. I think the new concept of the state migration policy should be in the terms of economic and migration domain. The economic migration or labor migration should be related to organized involvement of foreign workers. You come directly for the employer for a specific task, you did the job and went back and you go back. It shouldn't be the program of legalizing migrants in Russia with further providing all benefits and guarantees that we have in our country. The mechanism of organized employment should be the key instrument of external integration. It should be the red line in the new strategic planning documents that should be called not a concept, but the strategy of the state migration policy. So let us ask our speakers some questions. I will ask the majority of them. And they, as professionals who work in the executive bodies, which is related to the implementation of this policy at the legislative level and the level of regions, and as representatives of big institutions of the civil society, will express their proposals, how, no matter how banal and platitude it could sound, how make the state migration policy better. So my first question will be to Mikhail Matveev. Mr. Matveev, we often say, and I focused your attention on that, the need for the new strategy, its difference from what we have. This migration policy should be sovereign. And what needs to be done for that, and what prevents us from doing so? Good afternoon. First of all, for my time being MP in the State Duma and going deeper into problems that we have, one of the problems I see with a blank eye is that the government of the National Federation, having provides negative opinion on many drafts implying the strengthening and severance of the migration policy. The most important problem here is that Russia and the Russian government, Russian elite, don't have a sovereign ideology. The ideology specifically, because we are in a rather strange symbiosis. When on one hand we have Soviet heritage with its narrative of people's friendship and single historical unity is being actively employed and exploited by those who brings in millions of migrants here. And this even brought to bear in the internet, in the web, a rather rough expression of people's friendship schizophrenia. Some schizophrenic and psycho people try to tell us that we are still mentally close to each other. We have some still friendship with some countries. Well, but for the other part of people who don't have any nostalgia for the Soviet past and refuse it, they use another wrapping, which is tolerance and multiculturalism as the main tenement of globalists, using which they implemented in Europe their migration policy post-war times and reached certain absurd situation that we experience everywhere in Northern Europe, in the UK, in Germany, France, and so on. So the key point is that the Russian migration policy was built under the governance and management of international organizations, like the International Migration Organization. And getting familiarized with the documents of this structure, and they have a representative office in Moscow, and they have even a website. I just visited it and made sure that it works, but not updated, but it's active. I can read here about four finished projects that they've implemented from 2017 to 2021 in the area of resettlement from the Central Asia Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, millions of people. Mobility between the Central Asia and Russian Federation is one of the biggest and important corridors of global migration. The mobility of the workforce will play an important role in the future for the economic development of Russian Federation and the Central Asian countries to replenishing the need of for the labor force and solving the issue of deficit of workforce in Russia. When we speak about the migration policy concept, we should not forget about demographic policy concept. The demographic policy concept of the Russian Federation that has been established by the decree of the president from 2007 till 2025, and now it's going to be renewed, it clearly states about the replacing migration. It says that it's necessary to resettle to Russia for permanent residence 300,000 people a year. And I think this is the key problem why we have such low-quality migration inflow. And when I was reading here from IMO website, and I didn't finish a little, why it is done? By contributing, reducing poverty in the Central Asia. So, the International Migration Organization programs that sound as something related to labor migration, their ultimate goal is to reduce poverty in those regions, in those countries. So it means that the most unrealized contingent or potential comes here, expressed by the words of our MP, Vasiliev, explosive youth is channelized here just not to blow up the stability of Asian regimes and Asian powers. The key problem here is the problem of sovereignty. So we and Russia was determined what to do within a certain global mission of so-called civilized states. Everything was decided already, and Germany should accept it from here, France from there, and we were attached to the Central Asia. We have to accept people from there. So when we are looking at the documents of this organization in public access, we see exclusive things and amazing things. This is a program of the World Bank in Russia and in the world, and a certain department of the British government. So it means that they design everything, and basically the resettled people from settlements and families from remote settlements are determined by the U.S. embassy in relevant states in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan. That's absurd. A few months before special military operation, Russia ratifies the Global Migration Treaty, which enshrines the necessity to level out rights of foreigners with the rights of the citizens. And that's why we have endless preferences that foreign citizens get here in Russia. So everything is really sad if we take a look at that. It's related to the fact that to change the situation, we have to change the mindset of our government, of our authorities. They should get rid of the notion that they provide the sovereign migration policy for their peoples, but use those narratives and instructions given by the global West. And so far, I see very serious struggle there between the state officials and people who believe that that's all right and we should continue this activity. And I think this struggle gets a principal character. This is the struggle for the future of the country, for the future of Russia. Thank you very much, Mikhail. Global risks, that's true. You outlined the global risks there, and I can only agree with you absolutely. Kirill Viktorovich, over to you. I know you as a person with very active civil position, one of the most brilliant and vivid representatives of our civil society. Can you tell us what's your standpoint, what kind of risks society would face from the migration point of view? Not rather in the global format, as Mikhail mentioned, but rather what kind of risks we see when we go outside, when we go in the street. Let's do it one by one. Good afternoon, first of all. Greetings. The thing is that uncontrolled migration is considered as the level of the Council of Security as a threat for the national security. It is determined as one of the threats to the national security. Why? One of the reasons is violation of the ethno-cultural balance. And our president spoke about that this is absolutely unacceptable during migration process. But we already evidence this violation, and as soon as we see this violation, we see the real risk of a so-called civilization war, or providing conditions for civilization wars and conflicts at the level of civilization. So look what happens nowadays. There's no adaptation, no integration of people coming to us for the most part, 99%. Is not possible in our country, even at the level of children. That shows us the European experience, the experience of nowadays, because people come absolutely with different messages. They come with a different mindset, and as you correctly said, with a different ideological preparation. Already they have this preparation. And at the level of ideology, in the Central Asian countries, since 1991, a model is imposed of a negative attitude towards Russia. And you just have to take a look in school books. It's hostile attitude. We have radical Islamization. It's all about ideology. It has nothing to do with the real Islam and real religion. It has nothing to do with it. It's just ideology. As a result, it is all brought over here. And if we take models, behavioral models of citizens from Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, in their countries, they have no radicalism at all there. But when they come here, since they are not adopted, they form some enclaves. Moscow region is a very brilliant example of such enclaves. And since powers and authorities don't know what to do with that, they try to make concessions. And we see it on the example of the latest holidays, when our traditional values that have been built by centuries, are being suppressed. And if we try to go against it, we are called radicals. A very good example that there's a notion or a definition in the global law, the dominating law, when the majority can express its position. We are not allowed to express our position, and I determine it by the power that by the number of platforms for sacrificing in Moscow. If we take the historical period, quite a big one, it's absolutely not characteristic also to those Muslims who used to live in our country before. Absolutely not characteristic. So then they say to us, look, we're moving in the absolutely secular state, we go over to some norms of another religious format. So let us live by Sharia laws. What's the point of that? By what reason? Well, it's absolutely not clear. And this is proposed with a violation of the Constitution of the Russian Federation, because no one knows what to do with those radical people. Now I give you the figure which would absolutely shock you. How many illegal prayer houses in the Moscow region of radical Islamic character? Can you guess? No, we know this figure, and this is less than 1,000, but a couple of hundreds, I can tell you. The question is that as soon as there were attempts in Kotelniki, in this district, as soon as there were attempts to close such illegal pseudo-religious institutions, what happened in Moscow? There was a march, a rally of radicals last year, you know. And the main problem was that each action brings to bear counteraction. And when they tell that now we see the radicalization of our community, it really happens. We cannot go from it away because we see situations when we are imposed a radical position which is alien to us. And naturally, we refuse it because that's not our position. So basically, we speak about dominating right of our traditions. Now, to the practice. This is the source of radicalism. What's next? We speak that 90% of underground terrorist groups from the Central Asia. And I'd like to repeat Alexander Bortnikov that these are predominantly from Tajikistan. This is a fact. How many groups of that are revealed? More than 70 on an annual basis. The groups that potentially prepare the terrorist acts. I'm not speaking about other groups who in practice provide their positions. The majority of coming to us are radicals.
And then youth. Who among them, who are the idols for them? Mostly the fighters of subsurface MMA who are aggressive, radical, Russophobic people. So they are the holders of radical Islamism. Therefore, we see in the Central Russia such a notion as the Sharia police groups. These are youth mobs acting on pseudo religious positions, but with the ideology in place. They don't like the appearance of a person by ethnicity. No, just quite recently, we have talked with Mr. Bazdrykin at St. Petersburg Forum, and he said rise in youth ethnical crime rate. Right now, the state regard that this as this wrongdoing, but this is a purely extremism activity. And the person who saw what was happening to our so-called straight opposition, starting from 2013, it's just a childish game compared with what we are witnessing right now. As of today, we need to understand that this radical, the radical emergence and the spread of the hostile ideology is not the backbone of possible conflict in Russia and destabilization of the situation in Russia. That's the backbone which will be used by our foreign actors to break Russia apart. Every year, the number of different conferences advised by our enemies on the ideology how to break Russia apart, this Dzerzhinsky theory to break Russia into seven parts, are held on a regular basis. And the number is growing. And they're going to focus on our domestic threat. Since, according to different estimates, we say that we have around 7 to 9 million, other sources give 7 million figure, even if 10%. They used to say that 40%. Right now, they keep on saying that 20% of active radicals who are ready to protect their own values, with guns in their arms, and to impose their own values on ours. Can you just give the number of how many can come out of street? And I have a really big doubt whether our law enforcement body can tackle this situation. You know, I'm a person who went through the collapse of the USSR when they kept on saying that it was impossible. And the government and the leaders of Russia say that this is national security issue. And this is absolutely right. Thank you very much. As you know, we talked about the global migration risks, but migration, external migration, might have a positive contribution when we're talking about the migration of our compatriots, of repatriation, when we see people from other countries who have very close set of values, who share our traditional set of values. In this respect, I have the question to Pavel, over to you. We know that Russian cooperation, Rossatrudnichstvo, one of the executive bodies together with the Ministry of Interior Affairs, tackling this agenda, tackling these topics. So what was possible criteria for those who come to Russia? Which categories of foreigners not to face these set of risks voiced by our colleagues, which would allow considering migration in the context of human capital development? Good afternoon, dear friends. I would highlight a couple of areas of our engagement on repatriation. And then I would talk about the educational process, outreach campaigns. You know, the Rossatrudnichstvo, a key agency in attracting foreign students to the Russian Federation. Under the decree of the president, the national projects, the youth and the kids, 500,000 foreign students should be students of Russian higher school by 2030, which is a separate, huge area we need to focus on. On the one hand, we see the traditional fight for the brain. We know that the attracting foreign students is a serious resource given the benefits Russia can gain in terms of expertise and competences, both domestically and both externally. They can be channels of our ideologies and broad picture of Russia in foreign states. And the people who stay here in Russia, answering your question, we see that repatriation is going through waves, and it is gaining momentum. First and foremost, we witness that in Western countries, Northern American countries, many compatriots who left at different ways, I'm not talking about 100 years back migration, but like those who left Russia 30 years ago and later, somehow they were embedded in the processes in these countries. They didn't have an opportunity on decision-making process regarding the Russian Federation and elite groups because they had no access to them. To a particular extent, many of them felt quite comfortable. As for the education of their kids, job, they had a house, a couple of cars, and that worked well. But with the latest radicalization in Western European countries in picture, political picture, and the beginning of the special military operation, there was a serious question of repatriation arose. We see in Germany, Belgium, France, the people who really are thinking of relocating themselves to Russia because the conditions of their life different. It's not because they have Russian blood that they have former Russian passport, because the conditions and propaganda of things which go against our values a lot, it has reached such an extent when people who felt quite comfortable 5 or 10 years ago, they do understand the period of their life there comes to an end and they need to relocate. At the same time, I need to highlight that a big number of native citizens in Germany doing the same. In Nizhny Novgorod, there are several settlements with ethnic Germans who are moving to Russia, understanding that this new propaganda is against their values. This is a huge resource, and undoubtedly it should be made use of, as our colleagues already said about the migration from the Central Asian republics. But these are the compatriots who have great education, even from the USSR, their kids with the right values. I'm sure that if we join this process, not at the level of kind of associations and volunteer groups, but the right approach from the state, we can get a serious wave of people willing to go back to Russia. And I'm absolutely positive that we will reap a lot of benefits from that process. But taking your question, speaking in broader terms about the history and education we're responsible for, we do understand that in the battle for brains and minds with leading educational countries, not Western Europe and the US only, China has joined the process, South Korea has joined the process. There are many states that understand they won't be able to win only through their own resources. It's why they our rivals for intellectual wars. And on the one hand, the Russian Federation has quite a strong stance. On the other hand, we need to understand that the quality of the student arriving in Russia is going down, since the level of education is growing globally. We see that the level of education in CIS countries is going down on the one hand, but on the other hand, we don't have the right, we cannot just lose the race for a gifted student. So we do our utmost to have this quota based mechanism for 30,000 students, which would allow us to take guys from all over the world who are highly motivated, goal-oriented, and they are ready to learn and to get education from the best universities and high school of Russia. Someone will go back to their homeland, someone will stay in Russia, and these are the tasks set for us. But there is another point. For instance, we use this quota for 177 states. Sometimes there are countries which send students in thousands. Or, for example, there are countries where there are only few students for them. But these are the tasks set by the government. Have decades history, and they are long-term, in decades ago, ahead. So this threshold of 500,000 foreign students should be students of Russian higher schools by 2030, gives us an opportunity to attract more foreign students through educational values can stay in Russia. On the other hand, it sets a very, very serious challenge associated with the migration risks. You know that right now the Ministry of Interior has prepared a list of 11 migration dangerous states, those citizens who do not join higher schools, but are on the front line sometimes. That's why there is a kind of a ban on these students from these particular states. So this trend is gaining momentum, and right now, together with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Interior, and the Federal Security Service, we are observing these trends, we are following these trends to be able to implement only those tasks which are aimed at attracting human capital, but not the aggravating the migration policy we see sometimes. Thank you very much. I totally agree with you. The main thing is this educational migration of foreign students should be for the development of human capital. These are supposed to be best of the best. We need to have criteria for it not to be the program of legalization. There are some examples when foreign citizens come to Russia under the quota, saying that they are going to be students, but they do different things. It does happen. Attending different expert and score venues, very often I speak to my opponents. You know, those who want to have kind of a good policy in migration area, they are labeled as radicals. And very often I hear these stories. Sometimes I call that the scream of them, that the migrants are indispensable, we cannot do without them. No one will work as delivery guys, everything will be in trash. And it's, you know, kind of an image of a Russian guy who is a lazy bum and is incapable of anything. We have more than 40 regions of the Russian Federation who use their right under the law, 115 federal law on the foreign citizens. They have a ban on some economic activity areas, and nothing bad happened in this region. Could you share the experience of Kaluga region as one of our breakthrough regions? Hello, dear friends. Can you hear me? 3 years has passed when the governor of Kaluga region made strategic decision regarding the problems of migration and immigration. I will talk about it a little bit later. February 2022, we adopted two most important regulations. The cease of Kaluga on resettlement of compatriots to Kaluga. Resettlement, relocation of compatriots sounds great, but this program worked very well. At the very beginning, 90,000 of our real compatriots went to Kaluga region.
No.
We were one of the first to join this program. But in the mid-2018, the situation changed and reversed. Our real compatriots made up only 16%. And the rest, mostly from Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and just we saw kind of warning signal, something went wrong. That's why we made a decision, first in Russia, right now not the single one. We sustained the program. Actually, we withdrew from the program, and we... It was not in vain. I'm going to give you numbers. And next decision of our governor related to the ban for foreigners to be part of some scope of professional and occupations where the foreigners cannot have a job. Right now, this number of these professions and occupations amounts to 13. At the very beginning, there were a lot of speculations, rumors, the economy would cease to exist. No one will deliver pizzas. No one will work as delivery men. It was absolutely nonsense. The economy didn't only collapse. 2023, the rise in global regional gross product was 6.7%. Did collapse? 2024, the rise in gross regional product 5.7%. Nothing collapsed. We kicked them out of the sphere. We didn't need them. No one was going to kick them out at the construction field. They don't want to be part of that. They want to live here, to somehow stick to this place, and then to choose the areas they feel comfortable at. In these spheres, in service areas, we don't have them. Following numbers and figures, over 3 years, when governor made these strategic decisions, the migration registration of these people went down by 30%, a 22-time drop in permanent residence, in residence permits, so the patents for work decreased twofold. 3 years when we withdrew from the program, there was no single application for the citizenship. So the citizenship provision decreased 2.5 times, so certificates we gave before is effective for 5 years right now, so there is a procedure of getting these certificates into citizenship. So the reduction in marriages so just went down fivefold. You just need to have the right management. When they feel the state control in this area, they just don't want to get married anymore, so they give up the decision. So the situation improved. The most interesting part is the number of people at migration ledger decreased 2.5 times. The number of migrants went down 2.5 times. So these are the numbers monitored by the specialists, by the statisticians, but we are not satisfied. We do see these numbers, the economy sees these numbers, but the citizens do not see these numbers. Why? Here, what I talked about, we need to segregate two terms, migration and immigration. Migration is much more dangerous than the migrant, is a person dependent. You can do something with him. But immigrant is a former migrant who got Russian passport. That's the question whether migration is economic notion. This is nonsense. If it is economic notion, then why would we give out Russian passports in numbers? Why? What's the purpose? So this is not the economic notion only. This is the hybrid war against Russia notion. That's what our colleagues have said. This is the hybrid war against Russia.
So we have to assess it like that. I don't know who doesn't understand it. What's also very important? What's important to formulate or to send it to the information society. Apart from migration and immigration, which are different things, we have to change the methodology. The methodology regarding migration and immigration. If we still consider these problems from the market discourse point of view, we will arrive at a disaster very soon. That's not a market notion. That's the notion of national security. It's the issue of national security. And so we have to proceed from these positions by conveying our policy. Thank you. Thank you, Oleg. Dear participants, if you are told that we cannot go without migrants, send them to Kaluga at least. Yes, and a flourishing, developing city, developing region that demonstrate us that migration policy regulation is possible also at the level of the federal constituent of the Russian Federation. It needs just to have the desire to do so. On one hand, that's true. I can tell you for sure that we bumped into the lack of our functions. We understood now that here the ball is on the side of the State Duma or federal authorities. We won't be able to get the progress. What we could do with our authorities, we did in the region. Of course, we will try to continue and squeeze something more, but at this stage, we need some decision at the federal level because we can't do without this. And that's for sure, absolutely. And those strategic decisions that we are discussing here, they, in essence, should build the new carcasses of the new migration policy of Russia that should be sovereign, that everybody agrees with here. Since Mr. Kalugin said that the ball now on the side of the parliament, of the federal center, so let's probably discuss the following. The proposals. What, on your opinion, would be needed to be enshrined in the strategy of the state migration policy of the Russian Federation after 2025? We partially touched upon that, but maybe one more things, one more, a few words. We wish we could, as your colleague mentioned, to plan when we have not 450 MPs, but 220 at least, 300, to be on the safe side, to build the constitution majority, and we could decide and solve everything very quickly. I think it's extremely important to remove completely the replacing migration principle from any demographic policy strategies. You know, this should be just prohibited and in principle banned, to make a stake in the problems of population on exporting migrants. That's importing migrants, sorry. That's first. Second, since we we can have some explanations to that, of course, but open borders at war in the country. I don't know how to characterize that. It's absolute nonsense, absurd situation, you know. And since the visa regime is not being introduced, so, in my opinion, any act of aggression from foreign citizens should result in immediate deportation. Some rude behavior in stores, some pushing someone or abusing someone, that's absolutely improper. People from who come from the world to us, the principal behavior is to, the need to dominate, to show their dominance. This is a key for them. That's a must. And we never accept that. And to live under such conditions, it's an absolute disaster. They grab a knife and they can kill if they get the reprimanded for parking. But they just grab the knife and kill the person just for some comment. Because, why? Because he should dominate. He needs domination. And to let people in here to the country who want to dominate in our country, it's absolute nonsense. It should be stopped at, in the very beginning. If they start bullying, immediately deported. And those who've already got passports, they should be deprived of the citizenship and also evicted. It's like Pavlov's experiments. As soon as you see the light, you get the spoke in your hand, and that's it. If So we need to do something. We need to work out reflexes. As soon as you express aggression, you get punished immediately. And this can be done only by introducing maximum number of reasons for depriving of the citizenship in the legislation. I produced this draft, but it was rejected. All the criminal cases, not ground for deposition. And Mr. Bastrykin mentioned this many times.
Через 30 лет миграции только сейчас начинается дактилоскопия пальчиков.
Only at this stage we start to take fingerprints, so only in the matter of experiment till 2026. And where is the genome profile? Where is all that? If we have to do with such endless migration inflow, and we're not allowed to impose visas, every person who enters at the border should be immediately registered and completely digitalized. And in case of minimum aggression, immediately going back home. Only in this way we can provide proper behavior and make sure they behave properly.
Павел Анатольевич, вот
Павел Анатольевич, it's not a secret. You already mentioned that our repatriation, we work foreigners who come to us, that we wait for here. Probably, I'd like to preempt your reply. What would you say to the law enforcement agencies? We often see cases when our Russian compatriots cannot get documents to get to Russia. They have to wait for some documents to get the permit. And these documents in some unfriendly countries, for now, it's not possible. And diasporas, using their services, some special corrupt officials, they get Russian passports in numbers, as Mr. Kalugin mentioned. So a request to you, probably we should think something about the document to simplify this procedure for those complementary foreigners whom we really need and wait here. Probably need some program that would help them. Because our country used to be a home for such people. The simplification of the documents, arrangement, procedures, probably we need to revisit some documents and memos that we cannot get quickly. Some steps could be done probably in future in this direction. Probably they're done right now. I would agree to your conclusion that there are a lot of procedures over there that initially were embedded, but the state is a complicated mechanism. It cannot turn quickly. And there are a lot of cases from the media that we see and hear when people complain that they cannot get quickly some documents. I absolutely agree. But please agree that in the recent year we see slow but quite positive signals. And very often we see cases and applications to the higher officials of the Russian Federation, or Sergei Lavrov, as the Minister of Foreign Affairs, reacts on that very quickly. And the investigation committee had also has it under control. Probably we wish this governmental machine works quicker. We see some efforts of the Russian Federation, consulate of the Russian Federation, try to do it faster.
Медленно, но процесс происходит.
The process really happens, although it happens not so quickly as we wish. Yes, thank you, but, well, God gives us some help and forces in this complicated job. Our forum is called Future, no matter how banal it would sound, related to digital technologies, related to dissemination of information, to what happens in Telegram channels, social media. We see that these the channels and negative points, unfortunately, we have more of letter, In this sense, just give the floor to Roman Tanovsky, author of the Telegram channel Syny Monarchii, or Monarchy Sons. I will say a few words very briefly, since we have the topic about digitalization of the future. Nobody is dealing with digitalizing the benefit or harm from migrants. So someone say, we have how many, so many people, how many people? I need to them four plants. But I don't remember that people from this, from the Middle Asia worked on plants. They were in trades in rural areas as peasants. If we calculate just how much money and how much efficiency brings one migrants, and how much money we spent for him, for his five children, and for insurance. In Ханты-Мансийск, they spent 300,000 for migrants. We have not enough teachers, doctors, and because the salaries are low. But let the employer pay for this insurance, and you will increase salaries for doctors. If we spend this money for other things, we will see that this is not necessary. From Transcaucasia, from Asia, we don't need even the legal migration. We don't need migration at all from there, because, well, we were told that we will introduce the visas and we will have bad relations. But wait a moment, we have visa regime and good relations with Turkmenistan. Do you see any problems with Turkmens? No, like with Tajin. We have visas with China, Korea, and the internal policy should not influence the external policy of a good state. I heard the thing, if we do not let Islamists from Tunisia, they come to power there, it will be much worse. We don't have in the joint border in Tajikistan. We shouldn't bring them over if they will. We don't have the common border with them. We speak about quotas to students. Deputy Minister of Education, sorry. For example, when I'm looking at names of surnames of students who are winning the Olympics, I don't see no family names, all the Russians and Tatars. What talented students are talking about? Let's make Olympiads and competitions, and the quota will be not 20,000 students, the quota will be 100 people who won the Olympiad. The others, let them pay big money for education and bring it to the budget of the Ministry of Education. It's very important to have the political will. Look at Pakistan. They deported in a few months 500,000 Afghani refugees. It's a huge number. There was a political win, and it's okay. So again, we have good relations, yes, but we can bring in working migrants for People's Republic of Korea, right? There was a very good example, building projects in Moscow, and migrants from Korean. There was very good, they were very good workers. Yes, thank you. On that optimistic tone, I understand that the time is running. Unfortunately, we have to finish, and we all made our conclusions. The most important conclusion is probably that the migration policy of Russia should be sovereign. It should serve the interests of national security. And once again, I'd like to quote our patriarch, never, ever change the image of Russian cities. I'm a frontman, Dnipro River Fleet.
Alexei Sobolev. Let's accept, dear colleagues, that migration policy is collapsed, is absolutely failed, because initially it was done by British agents that flooded our country with alien elements. And if now we have in prospect the open front in Baltic and Finland and further on, the next hit will be made from the inside by Takbir. And if we don't start massive deportation of these aliens, we will lose our country.